This past week, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which calls for a ban on abortions after 20 weeks. While President Trump has said he would sign the bill into law, still remains a hurdle which is known as the U.S. Senate. Senate GOP leadership has quickly said that they don't see this bill as, quote, a priority. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell recently told big-time GOP donors that it takes time to pass legislation. Our next guest is with us now to discuss the importance of this law and the myths which it's being subjected to by its opponents. He is the National Director of Priests for Life, as well as author of books, including Proclaiming the Message of Life and Abolishing Abortion, Father Frank Pavone. Thanks for being here today, Father.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
A couple of websites of your for your interest, and we have links over to our page, too, priestsforlife.org, as well as prolifecentral.com. Those will be some action points for, hopefully, you to give the Senate a little nudge to propel them to take action on this bill. But just as a foundation for the listener, Father, what are the elements of the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act?
Well, first of all, of course, the name of it begins with the word pain, and what's at stake in this legislation is that Congress has found, through its consultation with experts, that medical research shows these babies in the womb feel pain pretty early on, but certainly by 20 weeks. We've got all the structures for feeling pain in place, and all the research indicates that these are children who not only feel pain, but in fact, they may feel more pain than the rest of us because the pain inhibitors are not as well developed. So that's point number one, and that's actually in the legislation, the findings of Congress of the scientific evidence that these babies feel pain. On the basis of that, then, Congress is saying that the state has a motive, a compelling interest, in fact, to protect these children from procedures that would kill them quite violently and painfully, such as the abortions that at these later stages of pregnancy literally dismember these children. So Congress is saying, look, we're going to protect these children from 20 weeks forward. There cannot be an abortion. Now, even many pro-choice people support this kind of a law, which has already been enacted in 16 states, because they say, look, if someone's going to have the choice to have an abortion, she should choose earlier on in the pregnancy. She should choose, many of these people will say it shouldn't certainly be beyond 12 weeks. Now, we're in favor, of course, of protecting all the babies, but this is a major step forward in advancing the protection of children in the womb.
There's actually a recent poll by Marist who said that, according to this poll, 78% of people combined want significant limits. They break down to 12% saying abortion should never be permitted, 11% say in order to save the mother's life, 30% say in case of rape, incest, or saving the mother's life. And then 25% say limited to the first trimester. So for the opponents of this bill to say that it goes against the will of the nation, I'm waiting for their facts on that idea.
Exactly. It's completely contrary to fact. It is not against the will of the nation. It may be against the knowledge of the nation. Many people don't even realize that abortions are happening in these later stages of pregnancy, 6th through the 9th month. But, you know, we at Priests for Life, as you may have seen, did some undercover phone calls to some abortion facilities where we successfully had a woman who was play acting successfully schedule an abortion at 30 weeks into the pregnancy of a healthy baby carried by a healthy mother. So these once people become aware that this is actually happening, we find them rallying to our side with measures like the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
And it's important to note, too, that the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act holds no legal penalties for the mother.
That's right. You know, this has been consistent with the position the pro-life movement has always taken, that, the mother is already punished. She is already in deep agony over these situations of feeling she has no choice but to abort her child. It is the abortionist who needs to be penalized, because if you stop, I mean, think of it this way. If you were to throw a mom in jail, well, that baby already died, and, other babies are being killed by whom? By the same abortionist who did her abortion. You stop the abortionist, and you're stopping hundreds or thousands of these procedures. And so the abortionist is the one that would face the penalty.
Father Frank Pavone, who is the National Director of Priests for Life. He's also author of books, including Proclaiming the Message of Life and Abolishing Abortion, priestsforlife.org. ProLifeCentral.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And in reference to what Father Pavone was saying, this is reading directly from the House version of the bill, H.R. 36. By 8 weeks after fertilization, the unborn child reacts to touch. After 20 weeks, the unborn child reacts to stimuli that would be recognized as painful if applied to an adult human, for example, by recoiling. I was watching the debate this past week, Father, and it was sad and laughable at the same time. The opponents on the Democratic side were reaching for science, too. The problem was they were reaching for research that was done as far back as 2008, which in this realm of medical science, that's ancient history.
That, yes, exactly. And we often find them doing this. You know, the research has been progressing steadily in this realm. If we look at it this way, and as far back in the 1980s, the thought was that only newborn children felt pain. I mean, this is how in relatively recent history we were like totally unaware of how much these unborn children have not only the mechanisms in place for feeling pain, but as the section you quoted mentioned, we see the recoiling. We also see hormonal reactions. Stress hormones are very much in evidence when you apply to the unborn child stimuli that would be expected to produce pain. So much so that doctors and medical journals now have advocated for 20 years now that anesthetics be used when there are procedures on unborn children. We know that there is surgery done on the unborn child, but even for abortion procedures, some medical journals have advocated using anesthetizing the baby so that he or she does not feel pain. So this is more and more widely accepted now.
A couple of stats I found, this is from 2016, about 18,000 very premature babies born every year in the U.S., about 5,000 of those at 22 or 23 weeks. And obviously the 20, 22, 23-week born are going to have the most difficult chance of survival. But again, that's the science is just further developing. So at least at this point in time, in 78 cases where a 22-week-old baby was born, obviously very premature, and treatment was given for whatever the ailments were, usually respiratory in that case, 18 of the 78 survived, which people would say, okay, that's not the best of numbers. But again, this is a whole new science that is quickly developing. So that ratio, I would predict, not being a layperson, but being logical, I believe that ratio is going to narrow very quickly, very soon.
Yes, that's right. That's the direction that science and medicine are going. The unborn child is routinely referred to as a second patient when mother and child are being treated by maternal fetal medicine experts. I've had the pleasure of interacting with many of these doctors, including fetal surgeons. It's a fascinating area. There are journals. One of them is called Fetal Diagnosis and Therapy. It's a whole field of medicine, recognizing there is a separate human being here, and there are ways to diagnose and treat that patient.
So as I mentioned in the introduction, this bill now moves on to the Senate. We have two-thirds of the process already in favor of this, the House and the President. Now we wait for the U.S. Senate, who, unfortunately, as I said, the leadership who places bills on the calendar for floor votes, they do not see this as a priority. So what is your organization going to do to attempt to professionally and politely persuade the Senate to see otherwise, shall we say?
Well, we're going to start putting pressure on them now. We've already been communicating with them. But we are going to ask people to call their senators. We're going to put out an action alert, and people can sign up for it at yet another one of our simple websites called Stop Abortion Now. So stopabortionnow.org. People can sign up, and we're going to ask them to call their two U.S. senators and to say, look, we know that the legislation is being presented. Here's the bill number. We want you to vote for it. And then we're going to say one more thing, which is very important, that those senators that vote against it, and of course we're talking, this splits down along party lines, and so our Democratic senators will be hard-pressed to find one that's going to vote for this legislation, although there might be a handful, but they basically oppose these kinds of bills. We're going to ask them why, and we're going to ask them, explain it to your constituents. And a lot of these senators, of course, are going to be up for re-election next year. And so we're going to start now a process of letting the people in these various states know that their senator refused to protect babies in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th month of pregnancy from painful procedures that kill them, refused to protect them, he or she owes us an explanation for that. And we're just going to do a strong public relations campaign. We're going to do advertising. We're going to do radio ads. We're going to do letters. We're going to have people calling their offices, visiting their offices. We're going to activate the churches and have the pastors get after these senators. But we want to try to do it, of course, now as much as possible to get them to vote for this legislation. But then if they vote against it, we're not going to let it drop there. We're going to let people know about it.
And there might be some surprising votes on the Democratic side of the aisle, too, because if I recall correctly, when the partial birth abortion legislation went through the Senate, it was somewhere between 15% to 20% of the Democrats voted for that bill to pass.
You see, that shows the strength of these kind of measures that deal with the babies in the later stages of pregnancy. Because one of the things we've also found is this, and you referred earlier to the polling, the Marist poll and other polls, that show that even when people say they're pro-choice, you know, so many of them will say no, but not in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th months. So some of these Democratic senators are paying attention to that polling, and they'll say, well, gee, you know, the people I represent, even the pro-choice people, they're not going to attack me on this bill. You know, here I might be safe. And in fact, that's one of the messages we're going to emphasize with them as well. This is something you can jump on board, even if you call yourself pro-choice.
And again, it's stopabortionnow.org to indeed and lend your voice and to find out how to exercise your right as the boss of that elected official down in Washington,
D.C.,
in this case, the U.S. Senate, because you hire them, you can fire them just as easily. And they need to be reminded of that. And they need to be reminded of the will of the people with that one Marist poll and the other polls, too. I mean, I'm not going to make your ears go numb, but I could have recited poll after poll after poll and the trends all going more and more to the pro-life situation, even among the pro-choice individuals, as Father Pavone said. So again, visit stopabortionnow.org to lend your voice and find out how you can propel the U.S. Senate to pass the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act while you're wandering around the web, priestforlife.org, prolifecentral.com. We've been joined by the National Director of Priests for Life. He's also author of books, including Proclaiming the Message of Life and Abolishing Abortion. Father Frank Pavone, thanks so much for being here today.
My pleasure. God bless you.